In recent years, opioid addiction has exploded across America. Communities all over the country are trying to come to grips with it. And for most people, this is something new. But in northern New Mexico, a heroin epidemic has been tearing away at the community for longer than many people there have been alive.
I know every type of drug. I've seen every type of drug.
Grandma does it, mom does it, dad did do it until he died.
I didn't really know who my mom was until I was like 2 or 3.
He does the needle kind of drugs. He gets like this foil.
My daughter, all I could do is sit there and watch her kill herself.
Drug epidemic hits a small community like this and doesn't go away. What happens to families, children, and the community at large? And what would it take to finally beat this problem? I'm Ed Williams, and this is Enduring Addiction, a special report from KUNM News. I'm Ed Williams. Thanks for joining us for this KUNM special, Enduring Addiction, the long fight against heroin in northern New Mexico.
Let me tell you where I come from. I'm the fifth generation.
This is Fidel Gutierrez. We're sitting in his family home in Velarde, New Mexico, a small town next to the Rio Grande, about an hour north of the state capital, Santa Fe. As you can probably hear, his roots here go way back. A lot of people's do. This is one of the oldest cultures in America. Native American Pueblo tribes and descendants of 16th century Spanish colonists still make up a big part of the population.
In Velarde, when I was growing up, you go up to the mountain, look down, all you would see is apple trees and acres and acres of chili.
Fidel was an apple farmer growing up. His family owned hundreds of acres of trees. He says back when he was a kid, life here was simple. This is one of the poorest parts of New Mexico today, but Fidel says back then it didn't take much money to live. People had plots of farmland they'd gotten from Spanish land grants where they could grow fruit and chili or cut timber from the mountains. Then came the Vietnam War.
When these people went to war, all these young people went to war. A lot of them came back that were hooked on drugs. And that's when drugs started after the war. A lot of drugs. Well, now it's a lot of drugs.
Heroin took hold here like nowhere else in the country. Just a few decades after Vietnam, the death rate from heroin in Rio Arriba County was higher than anywhere else in America. Since then, the problem's only gotten worse. It's an epidemic that's hit Fidel's family hard. All of his 6 kids have been addicted to heroin, and so have some of his grandkids.
Hi there. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Hello. Yona Gutierrez is Fidel's daughter and one of only 2 of his kids to make it through treatment. She lives with her 14-year-old son Eddie in Española, Rio Arriba County's biggest town. Yona went through some hard times recently. She's recovering from heroin addiction, and she lost custody of Eddie before she got into recovery. Now things are better, though. She's working at her family's restaurant and working on being a mom, too. Here's Eddie.
Yeah, it was hard, kind of growing up around here. And then with spending the first 5 years of my life with my grandma, because my mom was struggling with her own stuff. But, like, I mean, I didn't really know who my mom was until I was, like, 2 or 3.
What do you mean it was hard growing up here?
Like, you can't walk your dog around here and not see someone strung out or someone, like, on something or stuff like that.
That's very true. Even just, like, you know, I don't let him go for walks around here because even just where we live is, like, a lot of deals are going on right here. I mean, and there's syringes, and you know what I mean? Like, he can't go. I don't allow him to go over there, you know, which kind of sucks because, you know, he should be able to go for a walk.
Eddie's experimented with some drugs. He doesn't hide it from his mom. They're pretty upfront with each other. Yoni even takes Eddie to Narcotics Anonymous meetings with her.
I mean, I've experienced with pot before, and I mean, once I did, I liked the feeling, and so I kept doing it, and I just did a lot.
Eddie says most of his friends are in the same position, and the exposure to drugs doesn't just come from the streets. It comes from the people you hang out with.
Like, if you have a... if you, say, so if you never smoked pot before, just saying, because, and you're with a friend, and he pulls out, like, a something, some pot, and he says, do you want to hit, you can't, like, they'll be like, oh, you'll be cool if you do it, or a lot of peer pressure.
Maybe you remember that age when you felt insecure, when you were trying to find your identity, when you just wanted to fit in. Yona and a lot of the people I talked to say what was so tempting about using heroin at that age was that it made all those feelings of teenage angst go away. To see her son deal with those pressures all while trying to manage her own addiction, it keeps her up at night.
I'm just kind of trying to balance two very important lives, you know, and I've learned that I really have to, you know, take care of myself ultimately and in my recovery so that I could be a better mom to him, you know, because without me being able to do that, then I'm no good to my son. I'm terrified that he's gonna use harder drugs. Our whole family, from our nieces and nephews, and from my dad's children to grandchildren to great-grandchildren are addicts. There's maybe two or three that are clean in our family. You know, we see it every day. And I try to have this house be like, you know, our safe place. You know, we don't allow alcohol in our house, drugs, you know, that kind of thing. So you can feel safe here, you know. It's hard.
Yona's doing everything she can to make sure Eddie doesn't get hooked on drugs. He likes to play guitar. He wants to be a musician or maybe an actor. One of the few after-school programs here where he can work on those things is a place called Moving Arts, a nonprofit run by a former gymnast named Roger Montoya.
One more. That was pretty nice.
Eddie comes here during the week after school gets out for guitar lessons and gymnastics classes. Right now, he's getting ready to dive over Coach Roger's arm.
Over my hand.
Eddie does an impressive front flip, nails his landing. There's a round of high fives and thumbs up from the class.
Eddie is doing so much better over the last 3 months. Earlier this year, I was very worried about him. He was having some very big challenges. And lately, as I'd say the last 6 weeks, he has a renewed sense of himself.
Roger's helping Eddie apply to the New Mexico School for the Arts, a charter school in Santa Fe. Eddie's pretty stoked on the idea, but he's got to get through eighth grade first. Once a week or so, Eddie meets up with a friend of his mom's after school named Donovan Hoffman. They have kind of a mentor thing going on. Donovan is a recovering heroin addict himself. He spent most of his teenage years in jail. He started using when he was Eddie's age. A lot of people do. 12, 13, 14. Most people I talked to here told me if a kid's going to pick up a drug habit, that's when it tends to happen.
So what's going on at school?
Huh?
What's going on at school?
Not much.
Like, really, really? Like, you're getting in trouble? Like,
shit. Not as much as I did.
Not as much as you were? Like, for a kid in this town to stay away from drugs, it takes a lot. It takes, like, I think, like, a whole team of people around that kid, you know? Because you can't expect that kid to just do that on their own. We know what's going on in this community. A lot of us have experienced it ourselves.
Yeah, and my mom said that she's, like, really glad that we're chilling and that I can go with you anytime.
Yeah. I just want you to do good. Like, I want you to know that, like, I mean, I've told you before, we've had those conversations of stuff you do now can affect you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Seriously. And it could be something that seems very little in that moment, but it can literally follow you for the rest of your life, and I just care about you.
For kids like Eddie, who are at risk for addiction, the stakes are really high. Because even though the heroin epidemic has been at crisis levels in Rio Arriba County for maybe longer than anywhere in America, most people here who need help getting clean can't find it. There's almost nowhere for people to go for detox, and the few treatment programs there are underfunded and pretty much always have a waiting list. Which means if Eddie's mom, Yona, relapses again, if she needs to find a detox center, chances are she won't be able to get into one. So she goes to her NA meetings, thinks about what her sobriety means for Eddie, and hopes for the best.
It's something that I have to work on every day of my life. You know, my disease will never go away. I have to go to meetings. I have to take care of myself. If not, then, you know, my disease is doing push-ups waiting for me to f*** up.
All right, just go ahead and come back.
This is Yona's nephew, Chuck. He's an active heroin user. He has been for years. He works at the family's restaurant with Yona in the kitchen.
Wakshi started at a young age.
It's the same story, the one everyone seems to have. You start experimenting around 12 or 13 with cigarettes and weed. At some point, someone you know introduces you to heroin. In this case, it was a girlfriend.
So I met this one gal, and then from there, it just really went downhill. She came from the same kind of family, too. At the time, she had started using behind my back. I didn't know about it, okay? So she was using behind my back, and curious cat here, I was like, what the hell is that? You know, I've heard about it. I've seen friends and actually even family members, you know, die from it. And, you know, and stupid ass me, I said, let me try it, you know. And we got high, you know, and it was the greatest feeling. You feel no pain. It's, you know, you totally mellow, you know. I kick myself in the ass every time I look back on that day.
You said the first time that you tried heroin, I mean, you were thinking about your family members that had overdosed and died.
Yeah.
And what? Why do you think you still tried it?
It's still a question that I ask myself all the time. I just wanted to see how it felt. And I thought at the same time, I thought that was the norm. You know, I thought everybody was normal. You know, people, that was normal. I thought it was normal to do that, you know, being coming from a family, seeing it growing up all my life, you know what I mean?
Now, Chuck says that great feeling is long gone. Heroin is elusive that way. After using it for a little while, the high goes away. Pretty soon, it becomes something you do just to stave off withdrawals. People who are addicted to heroin call it getting well.
I'm a functional addict. I still put food on the table. I mean, my girlfriend, we still go buy nice clothes. We, you know, have our vehicles.
This is KUNM. I'm Chris Boros. Espanola has had one of the highest rates of heroin addiction in the country for decades. It's a public health crisis that can create particular challenges for pregnant moms and the doctors that treat them. Public Health New Mexico's Ed Williams has the first report in our series exploring northern New Mexico's opioid epidemic and how it affects kids and families.
Maybe like 2 weeks ago, I had a customer go out to my work and eat with his girlfriend.
This is Monica, a new mom who works at a restaurant in Española. She told me this story about a recent night when she was waiting tables.
But anyways, when he was about to leave, he handed me a paper and he was like, here you go, ma'am. Here's your tip.
Monica is recovering from heroin addiction, and she didn't want to give her last name because she says a lot of her friends and family still don't know she had a drug problem.
So I go to the back, I open the paper, and it's drugs. Like, he handed me drugs. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I can't believe he just gave me this. Oh, my gosh.
Monica didn't use the drugs that day. She turned him into her manager because she said she doesn't want her young daughter to have an addicted parent. But her story shows just how hard it can be to stay clean in Española, where it can feel like heroin is everywhere. If you want some, Monica says, you just have to walk down the street and ask.
I mean, mentally, like, you want to go out there and use, but then it's, you have your child, you know? And I'm not going to lie and say, oh, throughout my whole pregnancy, I never used, because I didn't find out I was pregnant till I was like 2 months pregnant. And I was using at the time.
There are a lot of women in Monica's shoes in this community. And like Monica, many of them try to get help with their addiction when they find out they're going to have a baby. But even though Española has led the nation in opioid addiction and overdose rates for years, basic services like detox treatment, counseling, and medical care are...
Research shows early childhood education is one of the most effective ways to prevent drug use later in life. That's especially important in Rio Arriba County, where an opioid epidemic has been raging for decades.
At Conjunto Preschool in Española, a group of about 10 3-year-olds is in the middle of library time, where they can have a teacher read through their favorite book, play with the blocks, or just sit and decompress. Today, the kids are rehearsing their alphabet skills.
The kids are learning how to get along, how to be in a group, how to express themselves.
Becky Trujillo is the 3-year-old class's teacher. Getting along with others and expressing thoughts and emotions, those are important skills for any 3-year-old to learn, but for this class, they can make a huge difference when the kids grow older. Because around half of the students here have been through some kind of trauma in their lives, usually having to do with the parent suffering from drug addiction.
We have lots of kids with varying needs that we really do an individual plan for so that we know how to handle any outbursts or sadness.
Does that happen a lot?
I would say it happens about every 10 minutes.
Conjunto's teachers are specially trained to deal with those outbursts, and they work with kids to get through their unique problems. Being in a mixed group with some children from stable homes and others with traumatic backgrounds helps them prepare for social interactions outside the home. There are behavioral health specialists on site, and the children get special therapy sessions to help them come to terms with the trauma they've been through. That's what drew Deborah Rodriguez to enroll her granddaughter Alexis in Conjunto this year.
Maybe they can help her understand what's going on, you know, like with the therapy sessions and stuff like that. I think that would help her out.
Alexis's mom is in jail on drug charges, and now Deborah is caring for her and her brothers and sisters by herself.
When a public health crisis gets out of control, it can overwhelm law enforcement agencies. That's what happened with the Española Police Department as it deals with a decades-old opioid epidemic and all the crime that goes with it. Public Health New Mexico's Ed Williams reports as part of our 6-part series, Enduring Addiction.
To understand how big of a drug problem Española has, just ask Officer Anthony Armijo.
It's the norm for everyone. It's the norm that, you know, drugs are here, drugs are being used. You know, you have family members that grew up with it. You know, like, for example, I have family that live here. You know, they're addicts. I've arrested them before.
If there's any police department that understands what an opioid epidemic means for a community, it's this one. Even the chief of police has had addiction struggles within his own family. This town of 10,000 people has had one of the highest opioid overdose rates in America. Heroin addiction has gone on out of control here year after year. It's a crisis that's torn families apart, strained the health system, and stretched the police department to its limit.
Española, 17.
17, go ahead.
At around 4 p.m. on a rainy Friday afternoon this past fall, a call comes in from dispatch. There's a break-in in progress at a vacant house. Police think it might be a guy who robbed a Baskin-Robbins with a knife earlier in the week. So we're in a trailer park right next to the high school. Some neighbors here called in a break-in to a house. There's 3 police. Officer Armijo is going around the back. They think the guy is still inside and guns are drawn. Inside, police found drug paraphernalia with heroin residue on it, but the person who broke in got away. Officer Armijo said these kinds of crimes happen all the time. Heroin addiction can drive people to get money for drugs.
For KUNM, I'm Megan Kamrick. When someone addicted to heroin or prescription drugs wants to quit, the first step is to find a detox center where they can safely go through withdrawals. In this final part of our series, exploring northern New Mexico's heroin epidemic, Public Health New Mexico's Ed Williams reports people in northern New Mexico who are trying to get help often can't find it.
When Española native Erin Borrego was 15, she and her classmates started experimenting with opioid painkillers. It started with pills called Percocet and Lortab.
So from 15 to 18, that's, you know, each year escalated. 1 year was Percocet and Lortab, 17 was OxyContin, and then it went up to, I immediately started injecting heroin.
Borrego says as her addiction progressed, she started losing control of her life. And finally, she enrolled in a 90-day program at OI Recovery Center, a detox and treatment center just north of Española. And she says that program has turned her life around. But most of her childhood friends haven't had the same luck.
My best friend from kindergarten is using, every single one of my best friends are out there. There are very good people, and their lives need to be saved, and they're not all scumbags and, you know, awful people that deserve to die. Like, we deserve to live.
Even though Española has one of the highest heroin overdose rates in America, help for people struggling with addiction here can be almost impossible to find. OI Recovery Center is the only detox service in the county, and they're almost always full.
It is a marathon that we're fighting right now.
That's Ambrose Barros, director of OI.
This is an epidemic. This is generational. This has been in our community, and it has gotten worse throughout the years in many aspects. So, yeah, we may help a few, but there's still a lot out there that need the support, and we're not engaging them as effectively as we'd like.